Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I'm flying solo here with this special edition during the beginning of NFL free agency and what is an uncharacteristic and unusual set of circumstances for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they head into this offseason. Ben Roethlisberger retiring and Pittsburgh making moves like we usually do not see. I know a lot's been talked about with them having cap space. It's not like they have the cap space of the Jacksonville Jaguars, however, or even last year's New England Patriots, but a little bit more money than usual and still not making everyone happy with some of their moves. I tried to say, you know, a characteristic with Kevin Colbert perhaps entering retirement. We still don't know of his replacement, but the Steelers, you know, they're like the Mandalorian. This is the way, and they have a certain way and a certain process, and people are like, oh, they're cheap, this and that. Look, this isn't the Pittsburgh Pirates. This isn't Bob Nutting and company here. There is an NFL salary cap, and we're talking about effectively, I think, around $35 million that the Steelers have to operate with, and they have to sign their rookies with this as well. Keep that in mind. And make whatever other deals, extend Minka Fitzpatrick or Deontay Johnson or other moves. You know, I'm not going to get too in-depth with strategy. If you want to check out the episode we had yesterday, that would be the debut of a 1ZE Flash NFL on Twitter. Zach Celadonia and his beautiful hair. Check that out. A lot of the strategy, even though a few of the points we made because we didn't know the Mitchell Trubisky news just yet, a lot of the strategy still applies, so I'll try not to be a broken record here and get right to the moves. We also had a special WTF edition that focuses on the quarterbacks and Trubisky in particular from Terry Fletcher, if you want to check that out. So we got a lot of programming coming at you, hot and heavy and quick, lightning round style this week. And the Steelers, they made a handful of moves, and people, no matter what you do, no matter what they spend, no matter what they do, it's like, well, are they going to address this position? It's like, come on, folks, okay? And I know a lot of yous out there are wondering my particular opinions. I heard people already coming at me on social media. Not really coming at me, you know. They're asking me questions and stuff, and how do you feel? And, of course, my cousin had to needle me. He's poking me like a caged animal about Mitchell Trubisky in particular. And I'll share my thoughts on that, but let's start with that's the low-hanging fruit. Let's start with another outside hiring, or not hiring because it's not a coach, but yeah, I guess a signing, or at least an agreement, because none of these teams can officially say they're signing anyone until Wednesday. So they started the legal tampering period on Monday. A lot more action than we're used to seeing from the Steelers, who stand pat. Maybe the way has changed, I don't know. But Mason Cole coming over from the Minnesota Vikings, and you may be familiar with the Vikings just absolutely trashing the Steelers for like 200 and some yards, Dalvin Cook and whatnot, on that Thursday Night Football game that myself and the professor Zach Meckler said all the way back in last July, was when the schedule was released, that the Steelers were being set up for failure. Oh boy, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of hot takes on who's starting week one and things like that right now that we can't possibly know. What I can tell you is the Steelers usually double dip at positions of need. And I felt all along, and this could be true of quarterback, by the way, even though they went and signed Trubisky. This could be true of quarterback. I don't know that it will be true of quarterback. The room's a little crowded right now. But guard center. Now, myself and Zach, on the previous episode, we talked about strategy. We talked about if they pick up one or the other, what that means for Kendrick Green. Well, they picked up a guy who plays both in Mason Cole. And according to Pro Football Focus, he was 35th overall in 2021, 25th in run blocking, 98th in pass blocking. And he was playing right guard. He's been playing center. He played for the Cardinals. Versatile guy. His contract, it weighs in, a little over 50, almost $16 million, $11 million paid out in the first 2 years. Is it starter money? It's somewhere in the ballpark of, I'm going to say that much, because when you're paying someone on the offensive line about $5 million a season, you're not going to pay every single player on the offensive line a premium. The Steelers haven't been really paying anybody, But I think this gives him some position flexibility, not only in regard to Green, but also Cole himself, and find out who's the best fit everywhere. It also allows them to be a lot more flexible in the draft should they target one of my favorite players, the center from Iowa, Linderbaum. So let's see how this plays out. Now, the other offensive lineman that got signed, Chukwuma Okorafor, we kind of alluded to this. What was his market going to be? And we could see him coming back. Was it a definite? It's never. Nothing's ever definite, especially never say never in the NFL. Tom Brady's back. He's trying to be Brett Favre Jr. over here with 1,000 retirements. But never say never. And Chukes is back, and there's people are saying, oh, my God, why? Because he's not a terrible right tackle. That's number one. And we know the woes with the Steelers' offensive line. And some of that is coming with the experience, inexperience, and then just getting the right fit and the right pieces. And if Okorafor wasn't back, the Steelers would definitely have to draft a tackle. Now they don't have to. And his contract, it isn't anything terribly extra extraordinary here. It's a cap hit of $4.3 million in 2022, and then it goes up to $13 million and $11.8 million. So if he's not good this season, or he's just and they feel they can improve, they're going to move on. It's kind of a prove-it year, but it's also some longevity and puts him in a good spot with other comparable players over the extension, the extending years of this contract in 2023 and 2024. 3 years, $29.25 million. It's not astronomical, but there's still people that are complaining about it. Where are you going to find your right tackle? We went through the whole list. I know I'm preaching to the choir for a lot of yins that tune into the show. Thank you for supporting. But some of the newbies that might be out there catching this and like, who's this guy? And he's rambling and talking and blah, blah, blah. We spoke about this and it was just kind of like, I think Dan Moore has locked at left tackle. Unless there is a significant upgrade or something, it'd have to be somebody, again, extraordinary circumstances maybe in the NFL draft. So Dan Moore, I think, is your guy at left tackle. I think Mason Cole is kind of like an indictment on whether or not Kevin Dotson is going to remain in that starting lineup as well, depending on what they add in the draft. Could also mean the same for Kendrick Green, but I'm not spelling it out for anybody just yet. There's a lot of moves. This is like one day of free agency. There's a lot of moves to go through this offseason, including an NFL draft, training camp, knock on wood, injuries, things of that nature that happen. So I don't think the Steelers want to get caught with their hands, you know, and slammed in the door. It's not even in the cookie jar. Slammed in the door like last year, rotating out guards and whatnot. And then J.C. Hasenauer as a center who did all right. He was admirable, but let's face it, J.C. Hasenauer is who he is, okay? If you could upgrade, you could upgrade. And you're going to hear me say that often, or upgrade or a definite upgrade. Is Cole a definite upgrade? I'm not sure. Chukwuma Okorafor, were you going to be able to upgrade over him for $4.3 million? Let's put it this way. Zach Banner is on the hook for more than that. And the Steelers can cut him and make back that $5 million. I almost expect him to do so. It's not a move that they usually do right away at the beginning of free agency. But they also are an organization that will say, hey, we're going in a different direction. And here you go. Here's an opportunity to go sign with someone else. So that is a move maybe that I see forthcoming. Not going to get into inside linebackers or defensive line. Go check out the show from the day before. You can hit the little skip or fast forward button if you need to get around parts like where we talk about Deshaun Watson. I will bring him up one more time regardless of the quarterback news. Heard the Browns, that may actually not even be a rumor now. Hearing the Browns might be trying to toss their hat in the mix there too. Kind of interesting, crazy stuff. So let's see. I think I have some more numbers on Mason Cole, actually. Besides being a fifth-year center, let's see. Christopher Carter at Carter Critiques, you know, talk about Chris a lot here. He has some good stuff going on over with his platforms that he's involved in. He finished last season with zero penalties and 471 snaps, and he allowed 2 sacks and 20 pressures and 264 pass reps. Very up and down with production from what I've seen, but 6'5", 292, he's a bigger, more experienced option at center, so Chris is thinking maybe center already. We'll see what happens there. Let's see. Got some more stuff here. Oh, yeah, the amount of money spent in free agency. I have so many tabs and windows open. Just bear with me. Holy cow. 104 $1 million more, and then some. We don't know all the contracts that the Jaguars doled out, but the Patriots last year set the record for most guaranteed money spent in free agency at 159.6, and the Jaguars are saying, hold my beer, basically. Let's see. Robert Spillane has been tendered, first refusal tender per source. This is from Brooke Pryor with ESPN, who covers the Steelers. It means he'd be on the books for about $2.4 million in 2022. The Steelers can match any offer, but it's not any kind of compensation. Of course, an undrafted player or street free agent when he came over to the Steelers. So with both of those in there, you know, he's restricted. But it's not like Dwayne Haskins, who, by the way, is not a first-round tender. That would have paid him north of, I think, like almost $4 million. He's like in a 2.6 range, 2.8 range. Not quite all the way there on an original round tender, which means basically the same thing other than compensation. So I was clarifying a little bit of that on Twitter as well, just for some of the moves that have happened the last few days. Now, you've got Chukwuma Okorafor. You've got Mason Cole. There's some offensive linemen either brought back in the fold or brought into the fold. I expect the Steelers to do something else draft-wise. They usually double dip. What can happen to quarterback? We're already hearing about double dipping after the Steelers made the headlines. I'm watching NFL Network and then they're talking, well, this could open them up for the most dreaded word that I'm going to hate hearing probably for as long as it takes to get the next, you know, Ben Roethlisberger franchise quarterback type. There'll never be another Big Ben, but everybody's looking for the next franchise quarterback. Is it Mitchell Trubisky? And I have this to say. I have a whole article out on SteelCityUnderground.com that I wrote this morning, the pros and cons of the Steelers signing Mitchell Trubisky. I know everyone out there, don't consider this as any backpedaling. I already did a little bit pulling back because I was going a little too gung-ho. Like, I'm not drinking my own Kool-Aid on the Mason Rudolph thing and thinking he's going to walk on water. At the same time, I don't think the same thing about Trubisky, and I did not like the entire free agent class, but I did say to the effect of this much, and I've got it on Twitter if you want to go back and look at it. I had to retweet it just so people were rapid-firing at me. I said, look. I could sympathize with the thought of the Steelers not wanting to go into the offseason with just Rudolph and Haskins. Would they take a rookie? Would they risk their rookie not being there? And then let's say they just signed Josh Dobbs and, you know, like the quarterback from Slippery Rock or whatever that they had before just to be a camp arm or another Duck Hodges. And you don't know how that's necessarily going to turn out, but I think the idea of adding a veteran quarterback, and myself and Zach mentioned this yesterday, like we mentioned, like Tyrod Taylor and Jacoby Brissett, and Trubisky falls into this category too. Although I will say this much, and this is a key word here, free agent. Okay, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, all these names that are being thrown around are not free agents. That's an important distinction because it's going to cost the team acquiring them something. Deshaun Watson, the Browns do it. They're going to have to give up oodles of draft picks and cap space. I was against Jimmy G because I don't really see a whole advantage of Jimmy G over Rudolph or even Trubisky. I think he's in the same category. There's a little bit of different, maybe upside. Okay, the top quarterback taken in his draft in 2017, number two overall with the Chicago Bears. He has a higher draft pedigree, obviously. I think he's more athletic, obviously. But mobile doesn't mean better. Everybody wants everyone to run around like with their head cut off like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray. And it's just, it doesn't sit with the way that I think things are going to operate in Pittsburgh. It could, but I don't think that I think it's just, you got to be a little elusive and hopefully elusive in protective football. My biggest knock when I was going through all of this, and there were three names that I said I could sympathize with, almost four. Okay. Trubisky was one of them, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jameis Winston. And then I was almost thinking Teddy Bridgewater, and I was just thinking that just based on being a veteran guy. Like, he reminds me of a Charlie Batch. And that's where I was going with it. I didn't really feel that anyone else, the others maybe, not even Bridgewater. Does he go in and compete and be a one? Trubisky can. Garoppolo, I think, was with that contract is saying without a doubt he's the number one, but can't stay healthy. Like, Trubisky has never had a 4,000-yard passing season, has never had a 30-touchdown passing season. He's definitely had a better cast around him, coaching and talent-wise, all the way around with the skill positions. there's a lot of arguments with Trubisky in saying, well, Matt Nagy, he ruined him. He had a bad coach. He didn't have a good cast around him. I mean, please. Allen Robinson had a 1,000-yard season with Trubisky as his quarterback. He had Jordan Howard, I think, run for almost 1,000 yards. Tariq Cohen, Trey Burton. Anthony Miller was added there at one point. And now it's funny because he's with the Steelers. He was on the practice squad. And I'm thinking this is something where people flip-flop around. And I said, I keep seeing the Mitch made the playoffs in 2018 from the same people who were complaining about firing Mike Tomlin because he hasn't won a playoff game in years. And I said, Yids are showing your true colors, and they're not black and gold. Make up your mind which it's going to be. Like, you know, we always kind of shoehorn things into where we want them. And they have pros and cons with Trubisky. Yeah, he had a great 2018 year. If he could replicate that, the back end of this contract, this is the best part of all of this. They didn't have to give anything up for the guy had the least, I'm not going to say, I guess in my opinion, the best of the free agent class of quarterbacks, because I had the least amount of arguments. I look at his numbers, and if you look like with the microscope, you got to look with the microscope. If you're looking macro and you're looking further pulled out, and you see his numbers and you see his, you know, completion rate's pretty high, threw for a lot of yards, touchdowns, not a ton of interceptions here or there. And even like sacks, he wasn't taking a whole lot of sacks. When I was looking at Marcus Mariota and the guy like fumbles, I don't know what, 67 times in under 500 pass attempts, well, holy cow, a dozen fumbles, maybe a dozen, 16 picks or whatever it is. Trubisky's like 2-1 touchdown to interception, maybe a 3,000, 3,200 yard guy in a full season. Even the projection, I did the projection on like the last season that he played over, I think 16, 17 games. He still wasn't really projected to be a 30 touchdown guy, something like 27 with maybe 14 picks. You can get by with that, but I don't necessarily know that that's better than Mason Rudolph. And you've got camps already forming, Brooke Pryor, Jerry Dulac. They're saying Trubisky's going to come in and compete with Mason Rudolph for the QB1 spot, the starters. You got fans that see a signing and immediately, instantly, they're over the moon. Oh, Rudolph sucks. You hate the guy just for breathing. Thank you to whoever tweeted that out there. That's exactly what it is. There's some guilt by association. You think he's Duck Hodges throwing picks, or he was Landry Jones looking like a deer in headlights. Not quite the same type of player. Yeah, he was skittish for a couple of games there. They won those three in a row back in 2019. I don't have to go through the list of names that he played with, et cetera, et cetera. Trubisky, without any incentives added to this contract, I think it's something like about $7 million per season. Let's see, 2 years, 14 and a quarter, up worth up to $27 million. Now, $27 million is some... You're doing well, and this is starter money, and I think that's also if the Steelers win the Super Bowl. The guy's going to go to Disney World on that money. 14 and a quarter means you might be watching Mason from the sidelines. And Mason's making a little bit more than six. This is some backup money. This is some competition money. The real indictment here for me, just like I said with Cole coming on and Kevin Dotson, you're looking a little further out here. I think the Steelers were hesitant to have Dwayne Haskins come in and not only compete for the number one, but potentially be the backup. Now, having him as a third guy on the roster, there's like no risk there. There's nothing but upside. But having him as QB2, if you're looking to continue the standard, and if you think that standard's just 500 ball, that's fine with me. If you have complaints with that, go send it to the complaint office, put it in the box. Don't want to hear them right now. But this is what you're thinking if you're going to keep the team competitive, you're going to play good defense, hopefully have a good run game. Either of these guys can manage the game. Now, that's not to say that I don't think Trubisky goes into camp and is immediately taking the first team reps. He's the outsider that was brought in. He's got the draft pedigree. He's the better athlete. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting come summer, but I wouldn't necessarily just jump right into it. So I know that's like a whole lot of, holy cow, Joe, you were really against free agency. The biggest sigh of the relief is maybe this takes them away from drafting a quarterback, because I'm not feeling it this year. I'm really not. at no, pick 20. You know, I'm here. I have people that are in my ear. Kenny Pickett could fall there. I feel maybe a little better about that than, I don't know, Malik Willis. And there's the word that I really loathe. Bridge quarterback. You're really residing yourself to look up the definition of what you're saying. Where's this bridge going? Is the bridge on fire? Is it collapsing like the one that just did just not too long ago there in Pittsburgh? That's just, I don't like the word. Bridge to me means you're accepting failure. Are you going to lose? And then there's all the people that are like, oh, what kind? Look at this. All of the Steelers players, they're welcoming Mitchell Trubisky. They're saying yay for this signing. What does that say about Mason Rudolph? Doesn't say anything. When Mason Rudolph was drafted, some of the same players, whoever the teammates were going to be, welcome to the Steel City. It's the same thing I'm saying. I'm not going to crap all over Trubisky. I've said enough not so flattering things just about his play. And of course, the Steelers' Super Bowl odds were 55-1 and dropped down to 70-1 after signing Trubisky. Because just like last year when Melvin Ingram was signed, everybody just assumed, hey, he's going to play alongside TJ Watt. They just totally overlook Alex Highsmith. Don't overlook Rudolph as part of this equation just yet. Jerry Dulock's exact quote was, the Steelers plan to have Trubisky challenge Mason Rudolph as the replacement for Ben Roethlisberger per sources. Plural. Jerry's got more than one guy here saying this, or gal. The deal does not affect Rudolph's status with the team. He is not expected to be traded or ask for a trade. People already, what do you think people are going to trade for Mason Rudolph? Like, some of the nutcases that are out there are like, ah, yeah, get a second round pick for this guy. Stop it. I don't even want to give a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and then take on his $27, $28 million. So some other interesting tidbits here about Trubisky. I'll get in a little more pros and cons from my article, but just the thought of this is, when you add the Steelers quarterbacks to the AFC North overall, Trubisky, first round pick number 2. He's the first quarterback taken in 2017, the first quarterback taken in 2018. Baker Mayfield with the first overall pick, and the first overall pick, first quarterback taken in 2020, Joe Burrow. And then you got Lamar Jackson was a first rounder, pick 30, the fifth quarterback taken in 2018, the sixth one with pick 76. 46 picks later was Mason Rudolph. So there wasn't another quarterback taken between Jackson and Rudolph in that draft, which was the same one with Mayfield, by the way, 2018. And then 2019, the 15th overall pick and the third quarterback taken in that draft by the Washington football team, Dwayne Haskins. This is a really interesting pedigree. Obviously, Rudolph has the least of that, being the sixth guy taken. But look, Lamar Jackson's the going guy on this list with an MVP, and he was the fifth one taken. You've got the top quarterback out of three of these drafts, 2017, 2018, and 2020, all in the AFC North. Now, that's assuming now, does Trubisky play and does he play well? There's good and bad to see from his game. Like I said, I had trouble shooting it down. I think the biggest thing is I think he's more dink and dunk variety. I do think, you say mobile, I think that's going to be more the bootleg stuff you couldn't see Ben do. I don't necessarily, you're not going to see him go out there and run around like Lamar Jackson. I don't think you're going to see him do Josh Allen. And God forbid, the folks that are on in the media here, and like I said, bridge quarterback, transitional. These guys just love these words. They sign contracts to just hand the torch to somebody else. And now the Steelers are going to draft someone too. I think they still got plenty of other positions to fill. The compensation, obviously, and what was given up, the contract already mentioned, is definitely a pro for Mitch Trubisky, but coming over from Buffalo, is that really a pro? Just being a backup, only attempting like 8 passes and still throwing a pick, 3 of 5 in the game that he actually got a little bit of mop-up duty, not just handing it off, got to throw 8 passes of last year, playing with Brian Daboll on that. I heard that just being in a different locker room, different culture could change things. That's what we're trying to say with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, so we'll see. Again, there was like, Matt Nagy, did he ruin this guy? Or is it responsible for him making the Pro Bowl and playoffs in 2018? He won 11 of his 14 starts, 3,200 some yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 4 300-yard passing games. Of those 24 touchdowns, he had 6 of them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with only 26 pass attempts. It's pretty crazy. So only 20 of those 26 weren't a touchdown pass. He got the Pro Bowl nod. I do believe as an alternate, by the way. But the Bears did win the NFC North that season, 12-4. If you remember what happened with Aaron Rodgers that year. He finished strong with his final season in 2020 with the Chicago Bears. His final 5 starts, 1,253 yards, 8 touchdowns, the 3 interceptions, 74% of his passes completed. But the beginning of the year, and he got benched for Nick Foles, is because his first 4 starts in 2020 were for 802 yards, so 450 fewer, 58.3% completed, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 4 fumbles. And the fumbles are the biggest thing that I've had a problem with. Despite that 11-3 record everyone throws out there, he's 18-18 regardless across his other 3 seasons. Yeah, some of that's Bears, but also remember, Bears defense, that team, not bad in 2018 also. More injury prone, a little more injuries and devastation there going on after that. A lot of things going on with there. And yeah, I do think Matt Nagy isn't necessarily a genius, but I didn't forget, again, you guys want Tomlin fired, Matt Canada fired, Trubisky will come in, that'll all be fixed now. I rest my case. I've already mentioned a few of the things about no 4,000-yard seasons, 30 touchdown seasons. The 2019 season following that Pro Bowl year, he played an extra game. He had 82 more pass attempts, but somehow threw for fewer yards, fewer touchdowns, and fewer interceptions. So he had a little bit of everything fall down, except he was throwing the ball more. You'd expect a little bit of progression, maybe even more interceptions, just because maybe he's being more aggressive, taking more chances. No, it's just weird statistically. And I want to say that's more or less because it was throwing the Cohen and tight ends and stuff like that. It became more dink and dunk and not going downfield. And that's the biggest knock I've seen from people that I know who are Bears fans. They say the guy has no deep ball accuracy. So, but he could move around. Might need to if this offensive line doesn't improve. We're hoping on paper that it does improve. But I ran this through Pro Football Reference, by the way, and the 17-game season, these were the numbers that I had. About 3,500 yards passing, 27 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That might be good enough to get you to the Pro Bowl. I want to say... I'm gonna bring up good old Mac Jones. I don't even think he did anything in that neighborhood. Let's see, 22 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, 3,800 yards, completed a lot of passes, 521 attempts. Wow, I didn't even know that I didn't know Belichick let him throw that much. We'll see what he does without Josh McDaniels now. The biggest problem, like I said, with Trubisky, 50 starts with the Bears, 37 interceptions to 64 touchdowns, but the fumbling 27 times in those 50 starts. That's over at least once in half of those games. So some people feel that's coaching. I think some of that could be mental with the player, the way you protect the ball, physicality, bad habits. Can you be coached out of a bad habit? Maybe. So I'm willing to give him a chance. Like I said, of all of the guys, like if they brought on Jameis Winston, the bad knee coming off that knee injury, and really I didn't have a big window with him. Like I said, Sam Darnold looked good for 5 games last year too. Winston looked good for 6, got hurt in the 7th. He could turn back into the Buccaneers player he was the year before, throwing 30 picks. And he has a lot of fumbles, too, just like Mariota. Was not a fan of Mariota. I just think he stinks, too. We'll see what Trubisky does. Those other two guys have the high draft pedigree, too. I think a lot of people, they think a change in scenery will help some of these players. Maybe. The comp here, I think coming out of college, was like a Ryan Tannehill. And we saw what happened with Tannehill with the change of scenery. We also saw Tannehill revert to some bad habits as well with the playoffs. So I'm going to leave you right there with that. It's not like I'm sitting here as in Gladiator. What was the main? I'm forgetting. I can remember Maximus, Aridius, Decimus, or whatever. Can't remember the villain's name, and you guys always trying to help me out. The thumbs up, the thumbs down. I'm right in the middle right now. We'll see what we do, but I'd like the thought. The thought process here, I think, is Rudolph Trubisky for the one in the backup. If one fails, the other one goes there. It's still my same plan for the Steelers, except maybe Haskins, they just don't feel he's matured. He's improved. I don't know. Maybe they make another move. Maybe Rudolph's the guy on the way out, just like Landry Jones was before. I'm totally aware of the business of the NFL and how some of these things could work. And it could turn around in just one day. So for now, I'm going to put a bow on the show. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Hopefully you liked a little bit of the shorter format. Try not to ramble too much. There's a lot to talk about with Mitchell Trubisky and the Steelers going forward. But let's see what some of the other moves bring us as free agency is fully underway. They call it a frenzy. It's March. There's also some madness. And just try and stay sane out there, folks, because football don't kick off for like another 6 months. So we still got a long ways to go and see what happens. There could even be trades and things of that nature too. Just not of the quarterback variety. Whew. I feel they dodged a bullet. And I feel this doesn't handicap the Steelers' future signing Trubisky, either from a salary cap standpoint or the draft in building the team as they traditionally do. This is the way. My name is Joe Kuzma. As always, we encourage everyone out there each and every time to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.